Okay, can you guys hear me okay?
Oh, good.
Okay, so I think we could probably, it's noon, and I think we can bring the meeting to order. This is a meeting of the Communications and Legislative Liaison Committee. So as usual, we'll start with a roll call.
Roll call, Director Bilodeau.
Am present.
Director Tran.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Whitaker. It's
Here.
iPads. Director Sheldon. Director Amezcua.
Present.
Director Meeks. Director Nguyen. Director Wigand. Director Green. You do have a quorum of your committee.
Fantastic. Mr. Kennedy, are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Great. That brings us to visitor participation. Would anybody like to address the board on any issues at this time? Seeing or hearing none, that brings us to the consent calendar, which consists of one item, which is the meeting minutes from the previous meeting. What is the pleasure of the committee?
I will move for approval the minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
Roll call, Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Amezcua.
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Great. That brings us to the state legislative update. Lisa, if you could take it away, please.
Yeah, we'll have Gonzalez start us off with an update on PFAS funding and also going through a couple bills.
Great, well, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jason Gonzalez. Very briefly, just some housekeeping on the legislature's return from session. I think it sets the stage for some of the bills we will be discussing here in a moment. But the legislature returned this past Monday, April 1st. It wasn't an April Fool's joke from spring recess. And the reason I bring it up is it kicks off a four-week sprint to the April 26th legislative deadline. There's about 1,500 bills that have to be out of fiscal bills that have to be out of the policy committees during this next 4 weeks. Just to put that in context, this past week, and I say past week because the legislature returns to their districts today. So since Monday, the assembly has conducted 19 policy committee hearings. The Senate had 13, and there were budget committee hearings accompanying or in addition to those policy committee hearings. So it just, we're going to see that type of activity over the next 4 weeks. I think it makes the staff's recommendations for positions on the bills I'll cover as well as Don and Jason. The first bill, or actually the first two bills that are in your packet, I would characterize them as PFAS awareness bills. And the reason I say that is I think the district has a proven track record of being a leader amongst the legislature and the governor's office and the various agencies on PFAS awareness. And the more we talk about it, and obviously the cost and danger to PFAS, I think the better for the district and the legislature included. The first one is AB, and both of these first two are staff recommended positions of support. The first one is AB 2515, authored by Assemblymember Diane Pappin, who happens to be the chair of the Water Committee. It directs Department of Toxics and Substance Control to issue a cease and desist order on any manufacturer selling or seeking to sell menstrual products that may contain hazardous chemicals, PFAS. The second one is very similar, and it is SB 1266, and it similarly bans the sale of children's products that may contain PFAS. So again, both of those are recommended support. A little bit different position being recommended on SB 1147, the last bill I'll cover, which is by Senator Portantino. And that's a bill that seeks to have State Water Board and Office, OEHA, as we call them, Office Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, develop standards and issue public health standards and goals for water bottles, plastic water bottles containing microplastics. The recommended position is oppose unless amended. And the staff's amendments, which I think make good policy sense as well as political sense with the author, and that is to delay the implementation until there's an availability of adequate peer-reviewed specific risk and studies and monitoring of the exposure within the microplastics and the water bottles, basically ensuring that the science is there to accompany the new public health goals. So I will stop there and be happy to answer any questions on those three bills or turn it over to Don and Jason.
And regarding the microplastic bill, Jason Dadakis is here if there's any specific questions.
I would always yield to the smart Jason.
Any questions for Mr. Gonzalez? Okay. I think we'll move on to Jason then.
Thank you, Director Bilodeau, and thank you, others. Good to see you all. And I will also always yield to both of the smarter Jasons. So that's how I'll handle my presentation. But so three bills, I'll try and go in the order that you have them in front of you, I believe. The first being AB 2079 by Assemblymember Bennett. So just the background's a little bit important on this one. In 2015, you know, the state legislature passed and the governor signed the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. That is not so long ago, obviously. And really, this bill probably should be viewed as kind of a second bite at the apple by Mr. Bennett. It would effectively, in certain areas, ban large diameter, high capacity wells that are not public wells from being installed. It would require local enforcement agencies to not permit the installation of those wells. And that is a potential problem in Orange County because, as your staff outlined for you and your agenda, you know, number one, Orange County Water District is responsible for managing the groundwater basin, and you are a example of that was used basically to model Sigma after. So you know how to do this on your own without the state legislature telling you. But also, it is possible that this bill, even though you are effectively managing the groundwater basin already, will apply in some parts of Orange County and have a negative effect actually on some of your remediation efforts. And so your staff are recommending an opposed position. And that seems appropriate given what this bill does and what it would do to Orange County Water District. The next two bills, pretty straightforward. Those are also PFAS bills. SB 903 by Senator Skinner is sponsored by the California Association of Sanitation Agencies. It's a pretty broad bill. It bans intentionally added PFAS in products unless the inclusion of PFAS is unavoidable and essentially necessary for a product to work and necessary for the functioning of society. And what's unique about the bill compared to many of the other bans is it tasks the Department of Toxic Substances Control with enforcing the ban and coming up with an actual regulatory framework to assess, you know, product by product, what needs to be banned and what does not. And lastly, it includes some civil penalties for those who are violating the ban. So the bill had its first hearing actually yesterday in the Senate Environmental Quality Committee, and it passed on a 4-2 vote, and we'll head to the Senate Judiciary Committee next. And then lastly, AB 2671 by Assemblymember Hart prohibits the sale of plastic packaging that includes PFAS or PVC in it. The prohibition begins in January 2026. And again, there are civil penalties that increase with each violation over time. It's going to get its first hearing in the Assembly Environmental Safety and Toxic Materials Committee next week on April 9th, and your staff is recommending a support position on both of those bills. So happy to answer any questions.
And also on the groundwater well bill, we have Roy Herndon here if you have any in-depth questions.
Let's see, Mayor Mesqua has a question.
Oh, no.
Okay, just a second.
I'm sorry. Can we go back to the very first bill that you wanted to oppose? You kind of went over it kind of quick, and I just wanted to go back to that. I believe it was the first bill you were sharing with us.
Are you referring to the groundwater bill or the bill?
It's the Bennett bill.
The Bennett bill, the AB 2079.
Absolutely. And I might, as Alicia says, you have a competent staff there who know a lot about it, so I might yield to them.
Don or somebody?
Wayne knows about this in depth.
Well, can I answer for you, Director Mesqua?
Thank you so much. Can you tell me why, just very basic, why we're opposing?
Well, it circumvents SGMA is one main reason. It staff doesn't believe it's good state policy. It sort of conflicts in a way with SGMA because it essentially gets in front of SGMA by putting a restriction on production wells without allowing SGMA to do its job in terms of sustainably managing basins. It doesn't account for basins that have been determined to be sustainably managed, like OCWD's basin. And so it doesn't account for elastic subsidence. It essentially prevents wells from being constructed in areas where there's been less than half a foot of subsidence. Our basin goes through what we call elastic subsidence. That means the basin, the ground surface, goes up and down by a few centimeters over time. But because we always fill the basin back up, it rebounds. This bill simply says any subsidence up to half a foot, or once you hit half a foot, any time since 2015, that you can't drill a new large diameter non-public water supply well. So we think that would curtail things within our basin unnecessarily.
Perfect. Thank you so very much. Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I have a question. So on the bills we're being asked to support that mainly do with consumer products, is the state not preempted from getting involved in this because of the Commerce Clause? I mean, is the state going to demand that we have different consumer products just for California? And won't that drive the price of products up significantly?
Yeah.
So I don't know if anybody has an opinion on that.
I'm not an attorney, so I'm gonna risk myself speaking here. Oh, Don is an attorney.
I'm an attorney, but that's not wasn't my area of practice. But all I'll say is that horse has left the barn decades ago. If there is every year, there's probably a couple dozen bills that, you know, are analogous to this with the various products.
Yeah. And okay. one thing I would note to that question, I think it's a very good one. It's likely to come up as part of the vetting process in the legislature, not germane to PFAS products, but it's one that came up last year with the Skittles and the food coloring ban. And the legislature proceeded, and matter of fact, they're back now with additional colors beyond the red dye. But it's a good question that may be headed to a courtroom.
Yeah, I just, you know, at some point there's a limit to what the state can do when you're tampering with the interstate commerce. But anyways, okay, that's my question. Does anybody else have any input or questions regarding the state legislative update? Okay. So we're being asked to take positions on six bills as presented on the agenda. Would anybody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, Mayor Mesqua makes a motion to support the recommended actions, and I'm going to go ahead and second that. And I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Roll call, Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Mesqua?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Great. That brings us to the federal legislative update. And I see we have Mr. Saperstein on the line. Good morning. Thank you, good afternoon.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning and good morning, good afternoon, everybody else. Congress has been out for the last 2 weeks. They returned to work on Tuesday, so it's been somewhat quiet. But I do have a couple of updates to provide you. First and foremost, PFAS. from a regulatory standpoint, the EPA is nearing its self-imposed deadline to put the MCL for drinking water, 4 parts per trillion, on the street as a final rulemaking, probably mid-April, I still think is going to be the timeline, 15th, 17th, thereabouts. We do know that the Office of Management Budget gave formal clearance of the rule, so that is the last step, if you will, before the agency issues it in the Federal Register. Before that happens, or in coincident with it, the agency is going to issue a guidance document, not a regulation, on destruction of PFAS and the kind of technologies that should be considered. It will not be a mandate on technologies, just guidance for industry to decide how to pursue treatment and destruction technologies. That will eventually leave it up to industry to decide what is the most appropriate way to go. With respect to the MCL, let me return that 1 second. We fully expect that, among others, the American Association American Water Works, AWWA, will issue or initiate litigation on the rule based on the science that's used to establish a 4 parts per trillion drinking water level. So look for that. With respect to other issues aside from designation, I'll get to in a second. The agency is in the process of collecting public information on a process to designate PFAS as hazardous constituents under the Resource Conservation Recovery Act. The reason they're doing this, we believe, is that if, in fact, the designation of PFAS is successfully challenged, the agency will initiate it, what they should have done ages ago, which is first determine if PFAS are hazardous constituents under the RCRA law, which is basically the Hazardous Waste and Solid Waste Management Law at the federal level. Then, based on that determination, go one other step and determine whether or not the constituents rise to the level of a hazardous waste. And then if they did, meaning it would be subject to regulation under the law's hazardous waste as opposed to garbage provisions, they put that in place. And then and only then they would then examine whether or not to make PFAS a designation under the CERCLA law. And that would be able to withstand protests, if you will, from legal challenges. That, we think, is going on just in case their CERCLA designation that they did precipitously is struck down or delayed. With respect to the liability designation of PFAS under Superfund or CERCLA, we still expect the agency to move forward sometime, like I said, between April 15th, 17th timeline to the end of April. When that happens, it will then be most likely subject to litigation also based on, if anything, failure of the agency to pursue and the proper process and approach to designating such chemicals under CERCLA, which is where I just outlined with respect to RCRA constituent definition, then hazardous waste, then CERCLA designation. All of this is going on, as I said, right now. If we shift over to the legislative branch, the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, after the hearing that was held on March 20th, where the passive receiver's position was cogently and effectively presented to the Committee on Environment and Public Works and the environmental community, quite frankly, did not do a very superb job at making their points known. The committee adjourned the meeting, the hearing, and are now, the staff are now trying to figure out, is there any way at all to navigate this opposition for passive receivers protection under any PFAS legislation that's developed that's being opposed by the environmental community? I'm going to say to you that I'm not positively or negatively inclined on this one. The only thing I will say is that the committee at least is looking to figure out a way out of this mess that has been created by EPA. And we do know that the environmental community is now beginning to make noise about maybe we could split the difference and give one element of the water sector, for example, or the solid waste sector, or the airports, or what have you, liability protection, but not everybody. So we're just going to have to wait and see over the next several weeks. We have spoken to the committee staff on the Senate side, and they are of the mind still that there will not be legislation until there is a bipartisan agreement. So we're still in that sort of waiting position. And that's where we are right now at PFAS. Turn very quickly over to the appropriations process. All the requests, but for a funding request related to PFAS cleanups for the district, have been made to the delegation, but for Representative Michelle Steele's office. Michelle Steele's office has indicated that they are waiting for the Committee on Appropriations to provide guidance, and then they will release their form. We expect that the Committee on Appropriations, either towards the end of next week or the following week, will issue that guidance, and then Steele's community project request forms will become available. Basically, the delay, if you need to know why there's a delay, is that the Committee on Appropriations lost their chairwoman, Kay Granger from Texas, when she announced that she is retiring and decided that the best approach would to be to step down from the committee chairmanship and let somebody else be the chair. And at this stage of the game, there is a very slight, subtle challenge to Representative Tom Cole from Oklahoma to become the chair. But we fully expect that he will be named the chair later this week, and then that will set things off on a firm platform to move on FY25 appropriations. So, Mr. Chair, that's where we are in a very limited presentation for this last couple of weeks in D.C.
Great. Any questions for Mr. Saperstein? Hearing none, I think the action is just to agendize the update for the full board meeting. Probably Mr. Saperstein's written comments, I would assume. And so I'll make a motion to that effect. Would anybody like to second my motion?
I'll second the motion.
Great. Director Yeo seconds. Can I have a roll call, please?
Roll call. Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Tran? Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Mesqua?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Great. That brings us to informational items. Item number 4, the Water Summit update.
Thank you, Chair Bilodeau. I have a brief update on the summit. Sorry, give me one moment. Okay, so not too much to report from last time. I want to remind the committee that the summit is taking place Friday, September 27th at the Westin South Coast Plaza. OCWD and MODOC are planning the event. MODOC is taking the lead this year. Fritz Coleman is our master of ceremonies. I know last Comlodge there was a lot of discussion about sessions and perhaps getting some more sessions that are more in line with what we've done in the past and really focus on water supply. So there was a lengthy meeting that the committee had. They're still working on that program development and session development. I will say that the one session across the board that will be moving forward is the one with the four elected. So Steve Garvey, Adam Schiff, Dave Min, and Scott Baugh more candidates as well. Invites for that has already gone out. So we are hoping to obtain at least one of those. So staff will continue to follow up. In terms of the subsequent sessions, I know there's been a lot of good ideas thrown out at last calm lunch as well. There were some director suggestions, but the program is really continuing to develop. Our co-chairs, Director Sheldon and Director Thomas at MODOC, they have met and they're trying to kind of start to finalize some of the sessions for the summit, and then we'll discuss it at the end of this month amongst the planning committee. And I believe, I don't know, Director Sheldon, if you are on, if you wanted to add anything else to that.
What you said was great. Thank you.
Perfect. And that concludes my update on the summit.
Okay, any questions? Hearing none, thank you. That'll bring us to item number five, the Children's Water Education Festival recap.
Thank you, Chair Bilodeau. So last Thursday, we hosted the Children's Water Education Festival Wednesday and Thursday, and I know directors Wigand and Green were able to attend. So we have just a recap, and Danny Birch from the staff, who helped to lead this event, is here to give some stats and information about our successful event. So Danny.
Thank you, Gina, and hello, everyone. As Gina mentioned, just a week ago, we hosted the Children's Water Education Festival at UC Irvine. And a big thanks to everyone who was involved in the planning process, and a special thanks, as Gina mentioned, to the directors who attended. It was a big success. It was our 27th anniversary. And just as a recap, it's a structured educational field trip for third, fourth, and fifth graders all across Orange County. And they go to six different presentations throughout the day hosted by local organizations. And that includes OCWD booths, public, private, and nonprofit organizations. So I'll go through a brief recap of who attended and then show you all some pictures of the event and just kind of go over how it went overall. So we had 194 classes in attendance with over 5,000 students attending between 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday. We had about 2,500 students each day. And we had 60 activities hosted by different community organizations, including Mesa Water District and Irvine Ranch Water District, who I saw on the call. So thank you to them and all the organizations who participated. We also had OCWD different departments host booths. So we had 9 different departments representing. And we also had volunteers from the community, almost 300 volunteers between the 2 days and then also the setup day, contributing a lot of hours. And we raised $60,000 in sponsorship as well. So here's a list of some of the sponsors who we had for the event. And here is a list of the different departments that we had from OCWD representing. And then we can get into some pictures. So these are actually pictures of the different OCWD booths, some of them. So we also have some different testimonials from people who attended the event. Very nice. And then these are some pictures of the students in action. And then these were some special guests that we had. So thank you again. And then just some closing pictures. And the next steps that we are taking right now is sending out thank yous to all of our participants. Evaluating, we gave out surveys both at the event, and we're also sending out surveys in our thank you notes. So we're evaluating that feedback and noting it for next year, as well as closing out the budget for this year and then beginning the planning efforts for next year. So that concludes the presentation. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for the presentation. Let's see. Mayor Mesqua has a question.
Thank you. Great presentation. I just wanted to know, was Fed and Unified also a present?
Were they present?
Oh, yes, they were. Yeah, we had a number of schools. We had a number of schools from Santa Ana. Typically, I would say Santa Ana and Anaheim are the largest two cities, but we'd be happy to send you kind of a recap of the schools that attended from Santa Ana.
That would be wonderful. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Great. Any other questions?
I don't have any questions.
Go ahead, yes. Steve. I'm going to just comment.
Steve, go ahead. Okay, Roger, why don't you proceed?
Thank you, Director Bilodeau. Well, did I see Mike Marcus in one of the pictures?
Yes, that was our former general manager, Mike Marcus, volunteered 2 days, and he led the groundwater replenishment system booth along with Audrey in engineering.
Awesome. Okay, thank you.
Sounds like we got a good rate on him.
He may have more time to volunteer going forward.
Yes.
I just wanted to thank
any
staff
other comment?
Okay, I will. I'm done, Bill. Come on now. I was able to visit with Alberto Sandoval at UCI, and Alberto did not know anything about this until we took a tour, and we spent about an hour or so. We were on the grounds checking out the different booths. So I hope that for next year's event, UCI will be a greater partner and comp us on a few of these expenses. But his eyes were open and his ears were listening, and he was observing a lot. We went to the chemistry area and the lab guys, and we learned so many UCI students had now come over to OCWD and are working here now. So that was a big thing that registered in his mind. And so there's a lot of interconnectivity. And then on another note, one of my friends from high school, he posted on Instagram, and I just saw that he happened to be there. And I was like, hey, what'd you think? And he said he was volunteering in his kids' class. Oh, nice. And he said they had a totally excellent time. He was really fired up about it. And so just getting outside people that had no idea that I had anything to do or any knowledge about it, to hear from them say how much their kids enjoyed it, all the pertinent topics were covered, all of the things that kids love and enjoy and will take with them into the future. I think it's a great event. So I'm excited to see what next year brings.
That's great. And thank you so much for attending and for the connection with the Vice Chancellor Sandoval. And I think my parting conversation with him was like, let's get started ASAP, because it does take a while to work through the ranks of UCI and kind of the bureaucracy, as he said. So we are going to work with them to start planning for 2025. Should the committee decide to go forward with UCI?
Yeah, I think it's a good spot. It's on spring break. There's no kids, but there's tons of space. But, you know, even the porta potties I saw, I mean, I said to Alberto, I go, why can't you let them use the bathrooms? He's like, I don't know, but we're going to fix it so that they can use the classroom bathrooms.
Yeah.
And just, you know, things, when you get the insider to see what's going on at campus where we're not interconnected,
absolutely,
that now will hopefully get fixed and we'll have a lot more connectivity for them.
That's great.
Great. I see Stacey Taylor has a question. Stacey, go ahead and proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, directors. Stacey Taylor, Mesa Water. Just wanted to say thank you to all of you, Orange County Water District directors and staff, for another great event. It's one of the highlights for us, for our public affairs group, to attend and participate. We always get a lot of positive comments and remarks from our board, our staff, our customers, and our industry colleagues. So it really is a great event, and we're looking forward to another great year next year. So just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Seth.
Great. Thank you for the input. Okay. Moving right along, the public affairs outreach update.
Great. Thank you, Chair Bilodeau. A brief outreach report for the month of May. We continue to host both in-person and virtual tours. So you'll see here, we had about 160 tour guests, 12 speaking engagements, and then got out two press releases, one on the festival and one on an award for the groundwater replenishment system that we shared with OC San. And then we continue to get out our monthly publications, our newsletter, as well as construction notices, and monitor the hotline. In terms of legislative engagement, you'll see here a list of March activities. So meetings with Assemblymember Diane Dixon, Tree Taub, and Avelino Valencia. And then also we had a booth at Festival, and Alicia helped to secure some staff who worked with our intern, Angel. So we had staff from Claudia Petrie Norris's office volunteering at our Ledge booth, teaching kids about policy and how a bill becomes a law. For upcoming activities, there's a scheduled meeting with Supervisor Doug Chafee that President Green and John Kennedy will attend. And then we're also working with Eric to plan an upcoming visit to Washington, D.C. So that will be President Green and John along with staff. So we're still working to schedule meetings, of course, with our Orange County delegation and probably some folks from US EPA, the Bureau, and maybe EPW, but that agenda is still in the works, but looking to plan a productive May DC trip. Wanted to mention two awards that we received, one at Water Reuse that took place in March in Denver. So along with OC San, we received the Community Water Champion Award. And then we were shortlisted the GWS Final Expansion for Global Water Awards, Global Water Reuse Project of the Year. That will be announced mid-April at the Global Water Summit in London. So we are still waiting on that news, but definitely achievement to be shortlisted for that. We continue to have positive media engagement, and some of the items that were in the news were definitely some of the stormwater projects, PFAS funding, as well as festivals. So we had 5.6 million global reach, over 6,000 web page views, and over 12,000 social media impressions. And we do continue to grow our social media following amongst our different platforms. So you'll see here just a sampling of some of the news clips. The Orange County Register did attend the Children's Water Education Festival. They got some great photos and coverage of that event. And then a couple of more articles along with our social media posts. I do want to take the opportunity to mention that Public Affairs has been working with IS to refresh our website. So the end of last year, we transitioned to WordPress, kind of a back-end platform. And so IS has been working very closely with us to implement that. And it has also allowed us to make more changes on our website just to make it visually appealing, user-friendly, have all of the links, I think, that are most visited. Really prominent on the web page. So we have taken a look at the data and the analytics behind that to see where people are going and what is needed. So you may have noticed over the last couple months, we're making kind of changes slowly but surely, working in conjunction with IS. So here's where we're at kind of so far. We are going back to a big hero image at the top of our website and then listing under that hero image, some of our most visited web pages. So, you know, meeting agendas, GWRS, careers, things like that about tend to be some of our most visited pages. So we either have those at the top navigation bar or down below. So I would just ask if when you're on the website, if there's feedback, things that need to be there, things that are not working for you all, if you would give me the feedback, we'd be happy to implement that. So it is a work in progress, and you will see it changing over time, hopefully tightening up the look each time. Upcoming webinars. We continue to host quarterly webinars. Our next webinar will be on South Basin, and we'll feature an OCWD speaker from Roy's group, along with folks from Cal EPA and DTSC. So that will take place May 22nd. And we do continue to have high participation on those webinars, anywhere from 150 to 200 folks. And then finally, wanted to list upcoming events. On April 30th, we are co-hosting, along with a lot of other Orange County, LA, and San Diego agencies, an AQUA AWWA Water Leaders Reception. We will be honoring AQUA President Kathy Green, Vice President Ernie Avila, along with AWWA President Heather Collins. So I know Letitia will work to get that on the board calendar. Then I mentioned Summit on the 27th and some pending events. We are working with some of our producers in Santa Ana and East Orange County Water District to host a PFAS ribbon cutting dedication of their treatment plants. And that ends my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Great. Any questions? Thank you for the presentation. Well, I believe all these items will be placed on the consent calendar. And are there any director's announcements or reports at this time?
I have one.
Oh, we have an announcement.
So I want to thank John for this morning's meeting with Congressman Correa. Myself, I was there, Chair Belinda was there, and Kathy. So thank you, John. Great presentation this morning. Really appreciate it. I also want to announce Santa Ana won the best tasting water for the third year in a row. So you want to come fill your water bottles, come to Santa Ana, even though Jones will not drink water right now while he's here with me. So, and then as far as for community events, July 28th, I'm having a resource fair here in the city with the Elks Lodge. And so the back to school resource fair, I know it's on a Sunday that day, but it was a way we could get everybody to use the whole parking lot. So it's going to be outside, the whole parking lot, the Santa Ana Elks. And so if you want to join, by all means, please just let me know. We're expecting about 2,000 people, roughly, how many come out. So more than welcome to join and have a booth there from OCWD. That's all I have. Thank you.
Great. And I just want to take a moment to thank Gina and Elisa and the staff for getting in the earmark requests to Congressman Correa. I know we're still trying to see if we can get something in with Michelle Steele. And I think we do have something in with Young Kim again, right? We kind of have a standing
Middle
with her, so that's fantastic. And that will definitely help offset some of our costs, and maybe Randy Fick will sleep better at night. And we're successful. I see no other hands. Are there any, Mr. General Manager, do you have any announcements or reports?
I have nothing to report.
Okay, then I believe this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.